Biblical vision is the lens that helps us interpret the events of our life. Today on Daily in the Word, Dr. Paul Chappell challenges us to develop 20/20 vision through the lens of God's Word.
Jesus voluntarily laid down his life. It was not forced upon him, but he loved you and he loved me so much that he laid down his life. Young people today, understand that Jesus died for you voluntarily and he died for you vicariously. And that simply means that he died in your place. I should have suffered and died.
Vision is the lens that interprets the way we view people and our concept of God. In John chapter 8, Jesus reminds us as believers that we can know the truth and that the truth can set us free. If you want to know more about biblical truth, then this series is for you. Welcome to Daily in the Word. This program features the teaching and preaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. The things we perceive to be true determine the way we respond to the world around us and to the God who lives within us. In our series, 20/20 Vision, we will develop a better understanding of who Jesus is and how he can make a difference in our lives. And now, here's Pastor Paul Chappell with part one of a message called, But We See Jesus.
In Hebrews chapter 2, verses 1 through 8, the Bible speaks of the subject of angels and of the subject of mankind, including Adam, who is often referred to as the federal head of the human race, or as the first father of the human race. Now, the angels played a significant part in Old Testament revelation. They oftentimes would give messages from God. Gabriel and other angels were used of God to bring about significant revelation. Adam was the first man. Adam, the Bible tells us, was given dominion over the earth. But Adam fell in sin, and death passed upon us through Adam because of Adam's sin. The Bible says in verse number 8 of Hebrews 2, Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet, for in that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. But now we see not yet all things put under him. And so we see two significant groups of people, or created beings, we might say. We see the angelic beings, and we see the human race, both mentioned in the early verses of chapter 2. And I might add that some religions focus entirely on angelic beings, or the quote-unquote prophecies of angelic beings, and others seem to center only around humankind in a very humanistic study of life. But we come this morning to the focal point of the chapter, and that is verse number 9. And the first four words say, but we see Jesus. Now let's say this together. Ready, begin. But we see Jesus. One more time, a little louder. But we see Jesus. Now some see merely the angels and some see merely Adam. But we are here this morning to see the Lord Jesus Christ. And if we're going to have 20/20 vision of the Christian life, we're going to have to see Jesus high and lifted up every day. Every day we must see the Lord Jesus Christ. One of my favorite little stories is about a man who visited a Little League game, and he walked up to the dugout there and he saw the boys that were out in the field and he saw the score. It was the first inning. The score was 17-0. And he shouted out to the third baseman, he said, you must be discouraged. 17-0. And the boy shouted back to the man and he said, discouraged? I'm not discouraged at all. It's only the first inning. Now I want to tell you something, friend. If you haven't seen Jesus, you haven't even been to bat yet. You don't even know the meaning of life until you see the Lord Jesus Christ. Now there are three things I want you to see about Jesus today from our verse. The first thing I want you to see with me this morning, I want you to see his presentation. The presentation of Jesus Christ to humanity. I want you to see what the Bible says in verse 9, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death. Now, when we think back to the first century, and we think back to the time when Jesus came to this world, when we first get a glimpse of Jesus, we see in the first place that he became flesh. In his presentation, he became flesh. Now, we'll see in just a moment that Jesus existed long before his presentation, for Jesus Christ said, before Abraham was, I am. As Bible-believing Christians, we believe in the eternality of Jesus Christ. We believe that he existed in eternity past with God the Father, and yet there was a moment in time when, according to the will of God, he became flesh. He was made in the likeness of men. We sometimes call it the incarnation. God became flesh, God incarnate, John 1:14. And the Word, that eternal Word, became flesh, and we beheld his glory as of the only begotten of the Father. It says something similar right here in chapter 2 and verse 14. It says, for as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same. Jesus Christ took part of the same flesh and blood that we know now today. The Bible says of it in verse 16, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. Sometimes he is referred to as the seed of David or the seed of Abraham, because it was promised to the Old Testament fathers that from their lineage would come a Messiah, and that of his kingdom there would be no end. And Jesus Christ is the fulfillment of the prophecies given to David. Jesus Christ came in the form of a man. He thirsted. He felt pain. He experienced all that we experienced, yet he did it all without sin. The Bible says in Romans 1:3, concerning his son Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh. And so the book of Hebrews makes it very clear that Jesus Christ was made a little lower than the angels. Now, to the Hebrew reader, the first century Jew, they would think, well, if God were to come down, certainly he would not come down as a man, maybe an angel, but not a man. But the Holy Spirit is very clear to say he was made a little lower than the angels. He became a man. He became a man in the likeness, the Bible says, or in the seed of David. And so as we understand his presentation, we see that he became a man, a little lower than the angels. But notice, secondly, he was made lower than the angels. He was made lower than the angels. The Bible says in verse 9, but we see Jesus who was made a little lower than the angels. This refers to the fact that he was positioned in a lower position. It speaks of the humility of Jesus Christ. It speaks of the fact that Adam, who brought the human race down in sin, now all that Adam did would be undone by all that Christ would do by coming and dying on the cross. Now, to understand Jesus Christ's humility in becoming a little lower than the angels, turn, if you would, in your Bible to Philippians chapter 2. Hold your spot there in Hebrews and turn back a few pages to the book of Philippians chapter 2. And let's try to understand what it must have been in this great act of humility for the Lord Jesus Christ to come down to us. Think about what he did. And what he did was to come down to us in the form of a man. What a humble act in human history. Philippians 2:5 says this, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Now, we're here today to see Jesus. Amen. And here we get a glimpse at the heart and the mind of the Lord Jesus. It says this, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. That's very important. Jesus Christ was equal with God in the Trinity. Now, the cults and the false teachers of today teach that Jesus Christ was a man who became a God. There are various religions who teach that concept, and they teach that he was a man, and that you also, as a man or woman, can become a God. This is their teaching. The cults teach that. But we understand from the Bible that Jesus Christ is eternally God. He is eternal God. And that as God, he became a man. He was not a man that became a God, as the Mormons teach. He was God who became a man, as the Bible teaches. And as God, he took on the form of man, and yet while he was man, he was still God. He was 100% God. He was 100% man. He felt pain like we feel pain, yet he never sinned like we sin. He could not sin. He was the God-man. He was made a little lower than the angels, and the Bible says he thought it not robbery to be equal with God. This was his position in eternity past. Now, as one equal with God, it says in verse 7, he made himself of no reputation. One would think that growing up in a carpenter's home would be an adequate description of this, of no reputation. And he took upon him the form of a servant, and he was made in the likeness of men. There's that word made. He was positioned. He was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and he became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. You see, as man alone, Jesus could not save us. As God alone, he would not. But incarnate, he could, and he did. As the God-man, he accomplished what could never have been accomplished in any other way. He shed his perfectly innocent blood for the sins of the entire world. And so we see this morning his presentation. He became a man, and he was made a little lower than the angels. When we see the Lord Jesus Christ, and when we contemplate his earthly ministry, we see him as the God-man. We see him as having been made a little lower than the angels and having come down to this sinful, sinful world in order that we might be saved. That's how he presented himself to this world, his presentation. But I bring to you, secondly, this morning, his passion. I want you to see with me his passion. Why was Jesus Christ made in the likeness of a man? Why all of this? Why the virgin birth? Why the Holy Ghost coming upon Mary? Why all of the suffering in a carpenter's shop and in a sinful world? Why? Well, I bring to you verse 9. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels. Here's why. For the suffering of death. You know, the Bible's not all that complicated. Jesus Christ was made a little lower than the angels. He came in the form of a man for this one reason, for the suffering of death. May I say it this way? He was born to die. He who owed no debt came to pay my debt. Jesus Christ, his passion, Jesus Christ came for the purpose of dying on the cross. And so it was that he was betrayed in the garden by Judas Iscariot. That one who said, Lord, I love you. That one who kissed him on the cheek. And now the Lord Jesus Christ was taken by the Roman soldiers and ultimately to Pontius Pilate. And Pontius Pilate utters those words I can hear ringing in my mind. Even now I can hear him saying, I find no fault in him. But I find no fault in him, and no one could ever find fault in him. But there was behind him that ringing sensation of people saying, give us Barabbas, give us Barabbas. And there was that Jewish custom that said, well, there could be a criminal released and another taken at the wishing of the people. And so it was that day that Jesus Christ was taken in. And so it was that that whip with lead and glass perhaps came now raking across the back of our Lord Jesus 39 times, and by his stripes we are healed. Amen. And that does not speak of healing of the physical infirmity. It speaks of the healing of a sinful soul. And then he carried his cross as far as he could up the hill of the skull until he could no longer carry that cross. And he fell beneath the load. And there Simon of Cyrene carried the cross the rest of the way. And Jesus Christ was then laid down on the cross and the nails through his hands and his feet. And Jesus hung there on the cross. Why did he take the form of a man? Why did he come a little lower than the angels? It was for the suffering of death. He was born to die. You talk of humbling and you talk of love. The world has never seen a more humbling love than the love of Jesus Christ. And isn't it a great challenge, husbands, that Ephesians 5 says, love your wife as Christ loved the church. Now, what about his passion? Two things I want you to be reminded of. First of all, it was voluntary. It was a voluntary passion. Jesus was equal with the Father in the Trinity. Yes, he was following the will of the Father in the sense of the motive and the direction, but this was something that was done voluntarily of the Lord Jesus Christ. He says in John 10 and verse 11, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. His life was not taken from him. He could have called 10,000 angels and said, take me off of this cross. I'm not going to die for these people. And yet he gave his life. John 10, 17 says, therefore doth my Father love me because I lay down my life that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. And yet the Bible says, greater love hath no man than this, that a man would lay down his life for his friends. And that's what Jesus did for you. Jesus voluntarily laid down his life. It was not forced upon him. But he loved you and he loved me so much that he laid down his life voluntarily. But it was not only voluntary, I want you to know, it was vicarious. It was vicarious. And I mean by this that he did this for all of us. He did this in our stead. A recent survey was done amongst people, and especially teenagers in Bible-believing churches, and many of them could not give straight answers, even concerning the doctrine of salvation. What a tragedy. Young people today, understand that Jesus died for you voluntarily, and he died for you vicariously, and that simply means that he died in your place. I should have suffered and died. I should have been crucified. I owed a debt I could not pay, but he paid a debt he did not owe. He died in my place. Look at verse 10. The Bible says in verse 9, he was crowned with glory and honor that he by the grace of God should taste death for every man. For it became him for whom are all things and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. Here we see that Jesus Christ again became the captain of our salvation. Here he died for us. Here he led the way on our behalf. 1 John 2:2 says, and he is the propitiation for our sins. That means he's the payment for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. The Bible says in verse 9, he tasted death for every man. Listen, Jesus did not die for a limited number of people. He died for all who will believe on him. He's the propitiation for all. His blood covered the sin of the entire world. And 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, for he hath made him to be sin for us. For he, God the Father, hath made him, God the Son, to be sin for us, who knew no sin. That is, Jesus Christ knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Do you understand that Jesus Christ, when he died on the cross, all of the sin that you and I have ever committed, Jesus bore that day. He bore our sin, our guilt, our shame, our hell. He was made sin for us, he who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God through him. We call that the vicarious atonement. He was made sin for us. He did it in our place. A little boy was consistently late for dinner. He was raised in a Christian home, but he always played with his friends just a little too long, and he'd come in rushing in for dinner just a little late. One particular day, his parents said, now, son, if you're late for dinner from now on, there's going to be a penalty for being late. He didn't think much of it. Sure enough, he came in about 5 minutes late. Mom and dad had already prayed. They already sat down to eat. As they came in for that dinner time, the little boy walked in. He sat down there at the table. And as he sat down at the table, he noticed that his plate was a plate with just a piece of bread and just a glass of water. And his lip began to tremble and tears came out of his eyes. And he knew his parents had warned him, but this was pretty cruel punishment, just bread. Well, after a little while of looking at that, suddenly his dad reached his hand over, and his dad took that plate of bread. And in his hand was mashed potatoes and roast beef and gravy and corn. Are you getting hungry yet? And the dad switched plates with the son. And the dad ate the bread. And the son ate the roast beef. And the little boy grew up to say, "All my life, I've known what God was like because of what my father did that night. I deserve the bread," he said. "But instead, I got the roast beef." And over 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ took your place. You and I deserve the cross. You and I deserve eternity in hell. But Jesus, God's Son, took your place and he took my place. He died in our stead. He conquered death. Verse 14 says in the latter portion that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil. Thank God that through his passion he took my place. He conquered sin, hell, and the devil on an old rugged cross. But we see Jesus. We see his presentation. We see his passion. Notice thirdly this morning, we see his position. I want you to see him high and lifted up. I want you to notice, if you would, in verse number 10, the Bible says in the latter portion, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. When we consider the position of Jesus Christ, we see him here, first of all, as our captain of salvation. He is our captain. The word here, archegos, means our chief leader, the prince, the one that takes the lead. If you will, Jesus saw my need and he took the lead in meeting it. He and he alone could meet that need, and hence he became the captain or the leader or the provider of my salvation. Romans 5 and verse 6 says, "For when we were yet without strength in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." He became the captain of our salvation. And it says there in verse 10, the captain of our salvation perfect through sufferings. Without suffering, he could not have died. And without dying, there was no atonement for sin. But because he suffered and bled and died, he became the captain of our salvation. And we are here today, listen, we are here today to see him. We're not here today to see the president of a denomination. We're not here today to see the Pope. We're not here today to see the denomination. We are here today to see the captain of our salvation, Jesus Christ. The church cannot save you. The Pope cannot save you. There's no hope in the Pope. This pastor cannot save you. That baptistry cannot save you. Only Jesus can save you. And the job of all true religion is to point men to him. We would see Jesus. Our captain of salvation. Secondly, he is our high priest of intercession. Our high priest of intercession. Would you notice what it says in verse 17 of this chapter? "Wherefore, in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people."
You've been listening to Daily in the Word with Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. As a companion to today's series, we are offering a book from Dr. Chappell entitled Sailing with Jesus, Choosing Faith as Your Compass. It's yours when you make a donation to this broadcast ministry. This book will challenge you to discover vital lessons on what it means to live by faith. It will help you develop 20/20 vision for what could happen when you launch out of the harbor of your comfort zone and learn what it means to have Christ on board. Call us at 1-800-68-TODAY. That's 800-688-6329. We hope today's message has encouraged you. Dr. Chapel has served as the pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church for nearly 30 years, and he is the author of many books. But most of all, he has a passion and love for you. If you've been helped through Dr. Chapel's ministry, he'd love to hear your story. Visit us on our website today, where you can listen to today's entire message, connect with us, and sign up for Pastor Chapel's Daily in the Word email devotional. Visit us at dailyintheword.org. And thank you for listening today. Be sure to join us next time as we continue to discover God's answers for today's challenges here on Daily in the Word.